Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I am very happy to sit with you. We're going to sit together soon. So please take your seat and get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or kneeling is fine too if you prefer that, or you can sit on a couch or the chair or a chair. And if so, try to sit with your feet flat on the floor or in some way that enables you to feel uplifted. So before we sit, I want to share some thoughts about how it is possible to find the energy and confidence to make a difference in the world. I know that's a big topic, and there are many theories and suggestions for how to do your part to make the world a better place. For yourself, of course, and for others. So I don't know about any of those theories, so I'm not going to share any of them with you. What I have concluded is that making positive change begins, does not end, but begins with your world. How can you make your world a place of hope and sanity and decency, and so on? So as mentioned, that's just the beginning. But without this basis in our own lives of some kind of, I'll just use the word sanity again, it is very hard to accomplish what you wish to accomplish, whether making the world better, quote unquote, means your family, your neighborhood, your city, planet Earth. That is up to you. But the point I want to make is that it begins right here. And as mentioned last week, you don't have to go back and listen to it if you didn't hear it. This year in the Open Heart Project, we're going to focus on right here and how we can arrange our lives to be beacons of goodness. That may sound cheesy, but it is not. So often ideas about how to make our world, this world that you live in, I happen to be in my world right now, conducive to hope and so on, is often predicated on some kind of inner work. I have to find the theory that works for me, the stance that I can believe in. I have to work through psychological issues that prevent me from doing my best. And cool, those are all good things. However, the suggestions I want to make today have nothing to do with inner work and absolutely everything to do with outer work, meaning the environment that you exist in. So I'll tell you a little story about how I learned this. And I've told this story before, so if you've heard it before, I hope you will enjoy hearing it again. This was a long time ago. I was in New York City, where I lived at the time, with my husband, who was then my boyfriend, and he suggested that we go visit an old family friend who lived in the East Village. And he grew up in a very sort of proper Boston suburb. And this was their neighbor. But at some point, she decamped to the East Village and just developed a whole different kind of life. Very different from the world she was brought up in. So I can say her name because she's since passed away. But when my husband knew her, her name was Marion Miller. And when I met her, her name was Marion Miller Minuski, which speaks to some kind of journey. So anyway, we go to her apartment. He hadn't seen her in decades. And it's a tiny, not tiny, but like a four-story building or five-story building in the East Village. And no elevator. So we walk up, I think it was five flights of stairs, so it must have been five stories, and knock on the door. And like central casting old lady opens it. She's got gray hair in a bun and is got glasses hanging on a cord around her neck and is, in my imagination, she's wearing an apron, but she probably wasn't at that time. But she's very sweet and very has a very gentle presence, and she was happy to see my husband, and then I was happy to meet her. And we sat down and chatted for a little bit about this and that. And then she excused herself to go make some tea for us and bring us some cookies. So as we sat there, I was like, oh, this is cool. This is nice. Wait a minute. There's something going on here that's more than cool, more than nice. Suddenly, I felt that I was enveloped in something that glowed. Not really. But suddenly, the environment seemed warmer and luminous and like incredibly beautiful. And this was a very humble place. The furniture was worn. There were bookshelves with knickknacks on them. There was the amount of fancy things in that apartment was zero. Everything looked well used. But suddenly I started to sit up straighter and feel like, where am I? I think I might be so in a palace. That's the word that came to me. How is this possible that this very humble, ordinary place has turned into a kind of glowing presence? So I don't have too much time to think about that. In she comes with some Lipton tea and some store-bought chocolate chip cookies. And I'm like, this is friggin' delicious. This is like the best tea I ever had. These cookies are amazing. I've had them before, but I never noticed that they were so yummy. And we talked some more. We had a very sweet visit, and then we left. And I wondered what went on in there. So here's my theory. It turned out that she had become a Zen practitioner and a committed meditator decades prior to this visit. So in the Zen tradition, particularly, there's a real sense of how you do things, not just how you hold your mind, how you pour a cup of tea, how you take care of the objects that you possess. So I felt that she had done that for so long. She had actually cared about everything that she possessed so consistently that at some point her heart, her care, her love infused those objects with something precious. Now, I'm making that up, so you take this with a grain of salt. Don't believe anything I'm saying. That's always fine. But my thought was, she cared about her things. She cared about her environment. And then it started to reflect back care and wholesomeness and decency and sanity. So the suggestion that I want to make to you is you can do that too. You can source sanity and strength and confidence and goodness and good cheer even from your world. It doesn't always have to come from in here. It can be drawn from the environment. Now that is at once a very powerful suggestion and an extremely ordinary suggestion, because what it means is ordinary. You clean up. You put things back where they belong. If something is broken, you have it repaired. So there's this sense of caring for objects, which becomes caring for the environment, which becomes caring for your world, to the point where, as I and my husband went into Marion Miller Minuski's apartment, everyone who enters will leave, as we did, with a sense of having been uplifted and embraced and appreciated. So I know we live in a world where being super casual and, of course, going very fast are qualities that are either admired or we think, well, I have to do that. There's something about the first piece, being casual. It's like, I don't want to look like I care too much. Well, y'all, I think we should all experiment with looking like we care too much about our bodies, about our minds, about our homes, our world, about each other, and about the world. Now, without that, without one of those first pieces, caring about your world, it becomes more difficult to care about the world, because we need a foundation. So as part of our spiritual practice, I want to suggest taking care of what you own or what you have or what you use. And it can just be as simple, and this is the only suggestion I want to make here, although I have many others. Just for this week or for the rest of your life, try to focus on the following koan or statement: clean up after yourself. So I know that sounds like something someone might have scolded you. You better clean up after yourself. But it's actually a profound instruction. The other day I was at Kripalu, which is a yoga center. I was teaching a program there and I was eating my lunch and it was delicious. I was by myself at a table. And when I stood up to bring my tray back to the kitchen, there were a few crumbs on the table and sort of just brushed them onto the tray. And then I put the chair back. I pushed it in. And, you know, I'm not trying to be like, oh, yeah, I'm awesome. I pushed my chair back in. But there's some sense of thinking about others. When you do even the tiniest things like that, that mean you care. So I don't want someone to trip over this chair. I don't want someone else to have to wipe up these crumbs. I'm right here. I can do it. So start with that. Clean up after yourself. And notice what that does to your mind. Of course, it will leave your house cleaner. That's good too. But if you use something, put it away. If you take clothes out of the laundry, fold them up and put them away. Just these things that are so ordinary that often we don't do. But notice what happens to your mind when you clean up after yourself, when you take care of your environment. I think you'll find that with some kind of consistency, not perfection, not being a goody-goody, but some sort of awareness of the space that you're in and the impact that your presence leaves for others, whether that other is yourself in the future or whoever, begins to soften your heart and keep you connected to your dignity and elegance. So enough of that. Let's sit. Please begin by letting go of whatever it is I just said, if you're thinking about it, and whatever it is you thought about those things, or thought at all. Just let go. Let go. See where you are. You're right here. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. Sit up straight. And notice the strength of your back body. And let your front body soften a lot. Let your belly relax. And when you think it is relaxed, relax it a little bit more. So there's a sense of spreading and releasing in the lower abdomen. Let the shoulders relax. Chin is tucked a little bit, so the back of the neck is long. And the mouth is closed, though the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. And let the jaw relax. Breath is natural in and out through the nose, unless you have a cold. And in our practice, the eyes remain open. And the gaze is soft and cast down to a comfortable spot in front, up to 6 feet or 2 meters or so, or less, given the distance of your screen. And the reason the eyes are open is because we are practicing being awake. We are practicing being part of the environment, not separating ourselves from it. And this is where caring begins. Now let your attention come to rest on the breath, which means to feel the breath rather than observe the breath. Just feel the body breathing in and out. Feel the inhale and the exhale. And then again, breathing in and out. And let your attention rest on this sort of sweet rhythm of the breath. Your mind will continue to make thoughts, no problem. No effort should be made to stop thinking or change thinking, because that's a fool's errand, if I may say. Just let your thoughts be as they are. They tend to settle on their own. But whether you have a lot of thoughts or few thoughts doesn't matter. Let your primary attention be on your breath. And if you notice that you lose track of your breath completely, not a little bit, fully, like you spaced out. Okay, good. You just woke up and saw where you were. That's very useful. So the instruction here is notice that you were thinking. You can label that moment silently, thinking, and then let go. Just let go. If it comes right back, let go again. And gently come back to your breath and take a fresh start, feeling the body breathe. So we'll sit together in silence until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. It really matters. Thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together.